mentioned in Scripture that in the that during the Dwapara Yuga, in the seventh month of time, in the 28th Divya Yuga, Lord Krishna appeared on this planet. And it is mentioned that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared on this planet in the Kali Yuga following that. Then, 500 years after the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Prabhupada appeared in this world. It was predicted that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would distribute this chanting of Hare Krishna, which is no different from Goloka Premadana, from the wealth of love come from Golok, that he would distribute this to every town and village. But we see that personally Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only distributed the holy name across India. It was Srila Prabhupada who brought this Krishna consciousness, who brought the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, who brought Srimad Bhagavatam along with him on board of the Jaladutta from east to west. That is really what we see in Srila Prabhupada, that fulfilled that mission. Interesting is that Srila Prabhupada did not know what was waiting for him. He had no idea. We see that in the beginning, Prabhupada would, once landed in America, Prabhupada would sometimes go to the office of the Scindia Steamship Company to see when ships would be going back, just in case. In case it wouldn't be successful. It appears that Prabhupada didn't know. Yet we find also in the Leelamrita a story where Prabhupada sat down next to a man on a park bench, and where Prabhupada was saying, "I have many temples and many followers." And the man said, "But you are here on a park bench. You are just here on a park bench." And he said, "Where are all your followers? Where are your temples?" Prabhupada said, "Only time is separating me from them." So at that point, we see that Prabhupada seemed to have a sense of the future. And later, that man came to the Boston Temple and actually identified himself and told the story. And that is how we actually know. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada, in one sense, knew he would have many followers and many temples. Krishna knew everything, all along. Krishna knew very well who would come, who would be sent to Prabhupada for what purpose. Krishna sent him so many men. Prabhupada said, "Krishna sent so many men to assist me in this mission." Now, in the case of most of us, we're not so sure if we are assisting Srila Prabhupada in his mission or if we are a weight on his leg, so to speak. But in the case of Bhakti Charu Maharaj, it is different. We can see it was meant to be. It was meant to be. Who could understand that boy who came, nice boy, educated boy, promising, that he would be one of the successor spiritual masters to Srila Prabhupada. Who could see? Krishna knew. Krishna knew of this connection. Krishna understood. It was part of the mission. Therefore, what was really happening when Srila Prabhupada crossed the Atlantic Ocean on the Jaladuta, who could see, who could understand? How can we even understand now? Now we understand a little. We can see who was sent. We can see Hayagriva, Brahmananda. We can see Kirtanananda. Hayagriva and Kirtanananda, they went to India looking for a guru. A few hours after Prabhupada had landed, they boarded the Jaladuta on the way to Calcutta in search of a spiritual master. So, how amazing. They didn't find one. But anyway, they came back and they brought back some items, some souvenirs, some posters and things from India. In this way, they were the first shopping party. And later, they brought out all these things and decorated Prabhupada's temple. And they were, in that way, decorating the temple with posters of India. And Prabhupada looked at it and said, "This is amazing." And they asked, "What is this poster?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, that is Hanuman." And Hayagriva said, "Who is he? Is he a cat?" Prabhupada said, "No, a monkey." They had no idea. Who is this form with the six arms? It was Sabuj, Lord Chaitanya, showing his six arms, two of Krishna, two of Ramachandra. And all was arranged by Krishna. And we see how Prabhupada needed a manager until our Krishna Maharaj came. And he was organizing so many things. And we can see that Prabhupada needed various people. He needed dynamic singers. And Vishnu Jayan came, and with his singing alone, he was so successful. He needed a man with a big heart, and Jayananda came. And then, just at the end, in Srila Prabhupada's final years, actually, Bhakti Charu Maharaj came. This educated, cultured Bengali young man who from his own culture, from his own tradition, had the connection with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so much alive in West Bengal, especially so many years back, and so ingrained in the culture. There is no doubt that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is considered in West Bengal one of the most influential books in the entire history of West Bengal. There are temples that are dedicated to the worship of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Everyone knows about Lord Chaitanya, but not everyone understands him properly. Not everyone understands him in the proper perspective. But Bhakti Chiru Maharaj carried the culture, carried the tradition, and had been in the West because he had studied in Germany. So he had international exposure also. He was a bit more mature when he came. He's not a young boy. He was past 30, actually, when he came. So he was at some maturity, not only maturity of this life, but maturity of many lives. He was sent to help and carry a culture across generations, to be the representative of Prabhupada. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is an interesting passage which describes how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met Paramananda Puri. Paramananda Puri was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri, who was the great famous Acharya. Madhavendra Puri, he was very famous, and then his disciples were less famous. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he met Paramananda Puri, he said, "Today, Madhavendra Puri is standing in front of me in the form of Paramananda Puri." So in the same way, we are saying today, Srila Prabhupada is standing in front of us in the form of Sri Bhakti Charusmai, who is fully dedicated. Somehow or other, Prabhupada recognized that he had special qualifications. Prabhupada very quickly he initiated him. Gave him first and second at the same time, gave him sannyas 6 months later. And in this way, very quickly promoted him to a position of leadership and kept him very close in those final days, and instructed him intimately and closely, and made not only a deep impression upon him in terms of his teachings, but also made a very deep personal connection. In terms of teachings, Srila Prabhupada ordered him to translate his books into Bengali, which obviously forced him to really study the books. So in that way, he became very conversant with Srila Prabhupada's books, and in that way became a true representative. That is what Srila Prabhupada brought when he came across the Jalajuta. He brought the parampara into the past and into the future. He brought generations of spiritual masters. And with each of them, Srila Prabhupada established deep personal relationships. With each of them, he instructed intimately. In his final days, Srila Prabhupada's health was failing. And it was in those days that Bhakti Chirundaraj was part of a team of senior men who were looking after Srila Prabhupada. On one occasion, Srila Prabhupada was in his room and he was ringing a bell. Prabhupada had a bell on his desk and he would ring the bell. So he was ringing the bell, and it happened to be so that Bhakti Chiru Maharaj was responsible to take care at that time. So he went into the room and Prabhupada said, "Can you make some orange juice?" So Bhakti Chiru Maharaj said, "Yes, yes." And he went, and time went by, and after about 15 minutes the bell rang again. And this time the bell rang with great force. Prabhupada wanted something very much, that was clear. And Bhakti Chiru Maharaj went into the room and Prabhupada says, "Where is the orange juice?" And then Bhakti Chiru Maharaj said, "Oh, I'll just make it." Prabhupada said, "You just make it? You mean you didn't even start yet? You didn't even start yet?" Then he said, "You didn't make it, I don't want it anymore." Anyway, Bhakti Chiru Maharaj went to the kitchen and he quickly made orange juice. So then he came into the room with a jug of orange juice and Prabhupada said, "What is that?" He said, "Orange juice, you know about orange juice." And Prabhupada said, "Orange juice? I don't want it. I don't want it. Take it away. Take it away. I don't want it.
And then Bhakti Chiruvara said, he said that if you want to chastise me, please, please do so. Please do so. I'm a fool. I deserve it. But somehow or another, please take this orange juice. It's good for you. So then Prabhupada said, okay, give that juice. And he drank the orange juice. Right? And then he said, I'm an old man. Sometimes I'm a little grumpy.
So in this way, we see how deep and personal the relationship developed. And how Srila Prabhupada didn't just cross the ocean on the Jaladuta. So many people cross the ocean. No, he did not just carry with him Srimad Bhagavatam. He was not just the Acharya in the line of disciplic succession from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Brahma Mantra Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. No. He was a deeply realized person who was ready to extend himself to anyone and everyone. Yara deke tara kaha Krishna upadesh amara vyaya kuru hai tara edesh. He was ready to personally connect with everyone and enter into a personal relationship with so many people. And he entered into a deep personal relationship with Bhakti Chiruvaraj, who was touched by his books, touched by his personal kindness, touched by his consistent example of even being Krishna conscious under very trying and difficult circumstances, and witnessing all that, Bhakti Chiruvaraj became totally conquered. And therefore when Srila Prabhupada chastised him over the orange juice, he didn't become disheartened. He didn't say, I quit. He didn't say, he wasn't upset. How can you treat me like this? You know what I mean? I'm serving you, I'm making orange juice for you, and you are just blasting me. Right? Make your own orange juice. The kitchen is just next door. I mean, we know these kind of domestic exchanges. But there was nothing like that. Nothing like that at all. But because Bhakti Chiruvaraj had been conquered to the core of his heart by Srila Prabhupada, and therefore he was sold out to him. And whatever Prabhupada said or did, he would accept. And he was not trying to in any way cover up for his mistake. Prabhupada exposed him, because Prabhupada mentioned, you didn't even start. You should have started. Maybe you didn't finish, but you should have started immediately after I said it. You first did other things. Why? Isn't my need the priority? Whatever the spiritual master desires is the priority. Put all other things aside, and immediately you should have taken it as a priority. That was the understanding. And Bhakti Chiruvaraj had not started, so he understood his fault. He was the first one. He was not denying it. Yes, I'm at fault. Chastise me. I deserve it. I'm a fool. And so on. But you have your health condition, and it's very bad right now. And this orange juice is really good for you. So what to do? You take it. And this love came out. Right? And with that he conquered Prabhupada. So first Prabhupada conquered his disciple, and then the disciple conquered Prabhupada. Now that's why I like this story, because it is like the story that shows that the connection became very, very deep. Very, very deep. Very deep.
So what can I say? There are Bhakti Chiru Maharaj would do anything for Prabhupada.
But there are critics also in the world. In the Bhagavatam, in the fifth canto, there is a description about the crickets who criticize. But Bhakti Chiru Maharaj tolerated and tolerated everything.
He was fully ready to just do anything for Prabhupada. Some people said that there was a conspiracy to take Prabhupada's life. Some accused Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. And then he did something which I will never forget. He said, if I ever did anything against Prabhupada, then let all of that now come on my head immediately. Immediately. May all these reactions come now and just in full form. And that showed his purity, his innocence, his dedication, because no one could say such a thing unless they were fully dedicated. There is no doubt that here, that today we are seeing Srila Prabhupada in front of us in the form of Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. And that is most wonderful. That is what we are celebrating. Vyasa Puja is the worship of Vyas and the worship of the representative of Vyas, because the representative of Vyas is not different from Vyas. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda were engaging in Vyasa Puja, they played games, because as Lord Nityananda was being worshipped by Lord Chaitanya, he simply changed. He changed and took a form of Lord Chaitanya. So in this way, the Lord was glorifying himself. So our Bhakti Chiru Maharaj instructed us that on this day, his Vyasa Puja day, which is the day when the representative of Vyas is to be glorified on his appearance day, which is a duty in the scripture, that the order of the spiritual master supersedes even the injunctions of the scripture. So he told us we should worship Srila Prabhupada on that day. So I'm worshipping Srila Prabhupada in the form of Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. So he can't say that I didn't follow his order. I did. And that is what I want to say, is that Bhakti Chiru Maharaj is someone in whom we can place our faith. When we listen to Srila Prabhupada, we do not need to intellectually weigh everything he says. We know that if we follow whatever Prabhupada says, that we will go back to Godhead. As simple as that. We can say the very same thing for His Holiness Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. If we follow Bhakti Chiru Maharaj, then also, without a doubt, we will go back to Godhead. And therefore this day is very glorious. Because this is the day that Prabhupada came across
the ocean. To bring us the book Bhagavat and to bring us the person Bhagavat and to create these personalities, the Bhagavat personalities, in the form of so many great disciples. Srila Prabhupada gave the instruction that every single one of his disciples should become a spiritual master. Some did and some didn't. But in Bhakti Charumaraj we see that it was just natural. It was perfectly fitting. It was obvious that he was meant for this purpose, and that he took birth in this world to fulfill that purpose, to become the pure representative of Srila Prabhupada. And therefore, on this day, we are offering our most humble obeisances at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupada Pranamamsa Parivatika Chaya Astam Tara Sata Sisimad Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj Vyasa Puja Ki Jaya, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya.